Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of Twelfth Hour Apostolic Sabbath Time, congregation 9th to 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is June 3rd, 2025. We start our first service today as a continuation with our reading on two timeless readings of B.T. Hollis. That's number 34. And it says, if you was nothing, what would you choose to be? If you were nothing, what would you choose to be? April 17th, 1948, by B.T. Hollis. 1 Kings 3:5. And Gideon, the Yahweh, appeared unto Solomon. And a dream by the night, and Yahweh said, ask what I shall give thee. Solomon asked for wisdom, and along with it, he got everything a man could desire to have. 1 Kings 3:10-14. If we were given a choice, such as Solomon was given, what would we ask for? I fear many of us would not ask for as good a thing as Solomon asked. I think most of us would ask for riches, others for a wife or a husband. And what makes me think this? Simply because I see so many applying themselves to the earning and hunting, not to the learning. Supposing you were nothing and you had enough sense to hear Yahweh's voice, as did the Psalmist saying, what do you wish to be? Ask for it, and that shall you be. You would want to be the best in the Yahweh's creation, a human being. Let us suppose that your request has been granted, that you have now become a fine human being that have advanced no further. You as yet belong to no family, race, government, or people. You know nothing about the Yahweh and nothing about religion. Next in your progress among the living, you would want to choose your nationality, of which of all the people on earth would you choose to be? I would choose to be a Hebrew, because the Hebrew nation of all the nations on the earth has for its parentage prophets, kings, and priests. For the Hebrew nation, I do not mean the unbelieving present-day Jews at the present time has no government of its own. It is scattered among the nations. You would therefore have to choose the government with which you would like to make your home. Since the United States of America is the most prosperous nation, and since with its rule you can move about with a greater freedom than in any other nation, you would doubtless choose to become one of its citizens. Suppose next you were greatly impressed to connect yourself with a church. There have been but three religions to choose from: pagan, Christian, and Mohammedan. Which one would you choose? for your own. You're already given wisdom, would tell you that it would have to be the one that has the best and longest record, the one that has proved its origin and endurance, the one that has proved itself capable of the saving of a sinner, raising the dead, and translating the living. Since the religion of the Yahshua alone has proved itself capable of the performance all these and of the prediction of the rise and fall of the nation and people, past, present, and future, from the time immemorial to the time of the end, and since its founder alone claims credit for the creating of the world, and of being the son of Yahweh. Now sure, the son of Yahweh is a co-creator with the Father. He is not the lone creator. For the beginning and the end. Okay. For the Savior, Yahshua, of all mankind, you would want to join it, and in fact, if one is to reap the fullest benefit from religion, then these are the qualifications which his religion must have. And if there are the chief reasons for one's embracing religion, then there is no alternative but to take the Christian religion, for it alone backs up its guarantee with the actual fact, with the actual performance. Suppose you have now become a wholehearted and altogether Christian, but you are confronted with still a greater problem. That is, you find Christianity divided into many sects, one differing from the other, both in the doctrine and deportment. You are therefore forced to choose the sect you would like to join, the sect you would like to make your own. Your choice would have to be, again, based on the facts, not on the assumption. And since the Bible itself has now become your only guide, your only teacher, you would have to consult it, and your choice would have to be made accordingly. And if you be living now in the time at the end, in the time that the revelation of the John actually speaks and shines upon the path of the saints, you would have to consult the book of the revelation first and join with the sect that it recommends. And what is it? Let us turn to the Revelation 12. Revelation 12:15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as it fled after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The woman, you know, is a symbol of the sect, the church. Revelation 12:16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the blood that the dragon cast out of his mouth. Only this church, you see, is favored even by the earth itself. This sect alone is saved from the dragon's flood, saved from being carried away shy that fled as a hypocrite and terrors in her midst. The virgin Torah said his name. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that seek the commandments of the Yahweh, and have the testimony of Yahshua Mashiach. Here you see, the remnant, those who are left after the others are swallowed by the earth, so to speak, keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. For this remnant are said that keeps the commandments of Yahweh, therefore, is as the only one that the inspiration recommends. The only one that is worth joining. For the only one that can profit anyone, for it alone possesses the power for the escaping any and all of the calamities that are now brewing throughout the world, for it is the only sect that finds favor with the Yahweh. No other with fear, or no other could prophesy. Then there it alone has the testimony of Yahshua, Messiah, as the living spirit of the prophecy, and with the living spirit of prophecy in its midst, Revelation 19:10. For the Spirit who leads into all of the truth, that alone can rightly interpret the Scriptures, 2 Peter 1:20-21, plainly, then, this relation would have you join no sect but this remnant. Keeping the commandments of the Yahweh, though, involves keeping every one of them. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, is guilty of all, James 2:10. And remember also that the keeping of the commandments can only be recognized only by the keeping of the Sabbath commandment, that the commandment that says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, and it thou shalt not do any work of thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in the 6 days the Yahweh made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Yahweh blessed Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made the Sabbath day. Therefore the Sabbath day, you see, is free, holy, but the first 6 days are created for work, but the seventh day Sabbath is the only Sabbath, and in all of the holy world of the Yahweh, there is no command for the keeping of another day. And instead, for the keeping of the seventh day Sabbath alone testifies of the one faith in the Creator and against the evolution. A Sabbath substitute, therefore, can no more be acceptable as a commandment of Yahweh than could the Cain's offering have been accepted as Yahweh's ordained sacrifice. No, do not contradict Yahweh by saying the seventh day is for the Jews only, for the Yahweh said in Isaiah 56:2-7, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man to lay hold on it to keep it this Sabbath from polluting his hands. Keep it his hands from doing any evil, neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself unto the Yahweh's state sin. The Yahweh has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuch, that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that pleases me and take the hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto the Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of the Yahweh to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh a hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of the prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. For the only Sabbath Yahshua ever knew was the seventh day Sabbath. Looking forward unto the great tribulation deep in the Christian era, he said, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world unto this time, nor ever shall be. Matthew 14:20-21. The Sabbath, you see, is for all people, both in the Old and the New Testament time. Moreover, again, speaking of the Christian era, the time the earth is made new, inspiration deters. Isaiah 66:22. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahweh. Since the revelation, the book that speaks unto the people of the Yahweh at this time, recommends the sect that keeps the commandments and that has the gift of the prophecy, for you cannot wisely connect yourself with any other sect. And since the Yahweh so declares, it must be that there is but one such people at this particular time who have the living testimony of Yahshua, Messiah, the gift of the Spirit of the prophecy. Moreover, for the Yahweh to place a gift with the more than one people would be for him to cause the confusion and disaster and to his own work, to thwart his own purpose. Still, further, if more than one has their gift, then they all would necessarily have to agree as one. Really, since there are no two sects that agree with each other, the truth that there is but one sect that has the gift of an absolute reality. And while you may choose to keep the Sabbath commandment, you cannot inspire yourself with of the spirit of the prophecy with this gift is to with this gift that is bestowed open the remnant by the Yahweh himself. For your next problem in your progress as a life with fear for the finding of the proper name of that commandment keeping people, a name that would actually buy the practice expressed that they are the remnant for a divinely inspired name, must in actuality point out the people whom the inspiration here recommends. And any other name on them would be misleading, and the same name on any other people would be misleading also. Let us not neglect to note too that the name of a people is not reality, is not really a name but a title. And titles, you know, change as fast as truth unfolds. As fast as the truth advances from one phase of the gospel work unto another. Therefore, to illustrate even the personal names of the patriarchs by which the various movements of the past were named were changed as the time went on. Abram, you recall, in the process of the time, was called Abraham, and Jacob was called Israel. Jacob was called Jacob first, and then he was called Israel. Then too, the church of Moses' time was called Israel, Israelite. At Yahshua's time, it was called Judean. Well, that's the tribe of Israel. And after that, Christian. No, it was called apostolic. It was called Judean apostolic. And then after that, called Christian. During the dark ages, when the Catholic Church took over those that had apostatized from the apostolic movement. Finally, came the time that it was either called Catholic or Protestant. Then either Lutheran or Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist or Millerite movement or Ellen G. White and the Seventh-day Adventist. Each one of these was the offspring of the old, not those who lag behind, but those who march on with the messages of the Yahweh as time goes on, are always recognized by the heaven as the church. At the commencement of each message, the people that marched on with the truth were the individual members of the one church which had become a church through the acceptance of a message, which its founder brought forth. For example, the entire Jewish church did not become an apostolic church, but the apostolic church drew its members from the Jewish Pharisees and the Sadducees that rejected Yahshua at the cross, and brought them to advance the truth. Okay, for the truth is especially adaptable for the time and the people then, as we are now living in the time of the revelation, in the time of the unfolding of the prophecies that point unto the setting up of the kingdom, as well as for the second advent of Yahshua for the church at this time, therefore, could not logically go by a name other than a name which would benefit her present advanced phase of the gospel work. Plainly, then, her name must express the truth she advocates, that is, the keeping of the commandments. Okay, with the second advent of Yahshua, and also with the restoration of the Davidian kingdom, according unto the prophecy, hence the logical name that would represent her work from this time down unto the time that the kingdom is set up, is to be the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, with a name that testifies of the kingdom message of the keeping of the commandments, of which the Seventh-day Sabbath is a part, and of the second advent of the Yahshua. Now you see that every additional timely truth brings an additional timely name, and you who have not been baptized in the name of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but in the name of the Yahshua, but through the present truth of the Spirit, you who are not tied unto any man, but unto the Yahshua, cannot help going on with the spirit of the prophecy, who unfolds the truth and names his people. You could not, therefore, afford to calmly stand by, dreaming of being rich and increased with the good, and in need of nothing, while in fact you are spiritually poor and naked, and you will stay that way if you neglect for the advancing with the truth for this time. Finally, you need to know concretely what is the kingdom message. Let's do that again. Finally, you need to know concretely what is the kingdom's message. As the additional message, earlier writings 277, and the phase of its work that promotes the title Seventh-day Adventist is the title Davidian, a Seventh-day Adventist, Isaiah 11, 12, and 16. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be led from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patros and from Kush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of the Israel and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. If the Yahweh's people who are in the Babylon are to come out of her, for their to escape her, a plague, Revelation 18:4, and to avoid the things that are in the Babylon when she rides the beast and rules the world, Revelation 17, they must necessarily go to a place that is not vulnerable with her pledge, and where there is no sin. Where is that place? That the Bible gives you the answer. Ezekiel 37:21-28. And say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen where they be gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh, and David my servant shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd, they shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, for it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will sit my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yes, I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 36:22-28. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Yahweh, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, said the Yahweh, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen, and get you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A pure heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Now you can more fully appreciate the name Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, which is the kingdom of David. And so if you were nothing yesterday, and a divinely enlightened human being today, you would at last be a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. So Suppose, though, you would then wish to go on to perfection. You, again, cry out to the Yahweh and say, Micah 6, 6 and 7, wherewith shall I come before the Yahweh, and how, and thou myself before the high Yahweh, shall I choose before him with the burnt offering, with the chairs of a year old, will the Yahweh be pleased with the thousands of lambs, with the tens thousands of the rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Micah 6, 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Yahweh. Yea, here you have the answer to your heart's desire. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy Yahweh. Be not high-minded and self-sufficient, and what is more, inspiration continues. Micah 6 says, for the Yahweh's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name, through you the rod, and who hath appointed it. For the shepherd's rod, with the books of inspiration sewn in, and inspired, its contents being the only rod in the world that can be heard speaking, for the Yahweh commands that you should hear it, that you do not waste any time in the deciding between the rod of literature and some other. For there is none other today than the rod literature that the Yahweh recommends you to hear, and when you hear the rod, you will find yourself wrapped in the love of Yahshua and in the arms of the Yahweh. Try it. Now listen unto his word, and let him in the language of the prophet tell you more about the day you and I are now approaching, the day which we are almost face to face with the light already given by the following scriptures. Need no special comments, for they are self-interpreted. Micah 6, 9. For the Yahshua's voice, or the Yahweh's voice, cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear you the rod, hear you the rod, and who hath appointed it. Isaiah 13, 8, 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cast off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as the silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahshua is my Savior and Redeemer. Zechariah 12:8-10. And that day shall the Yahshua, that is the Son of Yahweh, defend the inhabitants of the Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them, as that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek for the destroying all of the nations that come against the Jerusalem, and I will pour upon them the house of the David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of the grace and of the supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and they shall be in the bitterness for him as the one that is in bitterness for his firstborn, Jeremiah 30, verse 9, that they shall serve as Yahshua, their Savior, their Redeemer, and David, their King, whom I will raise up unto them. That's in Hosea 3, I believe. For Ezekiel 37, 24 to 26, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have the one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, for it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. See, you are now instructions in the truth, or since now you are instructed in the truth and righteousness, and since the earth has not yet swallowed up the dragon's blood, also since this message is that the announcement of the earth is an announcement that the earth will soon swallow up the blood with the clash of the church members, which you most love most associated. Here you now the clash which Yahweh recommends, as is 5:3-16. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after the righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see the Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of the Yahweh. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in the heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This brings to the end of the Tommy Green, Volume 2, Number 34, and the end of our study this hour. Okay, Tommy Green, Volume 2, Number 35, is entitled the Yahshua or Righteousness. We'll just go right on into the main sermon on that one. April 24th, 1948, at Beachy Hollow. It says, our text It's found in Jeremiah 23, beginning with the 5th verse, down unto the 8th inclusive. Jeremiah 23:5, "Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Here is a prophecy of the first advent of the Yahshua. The righteous branch, who is to execute judgment and justice in the earth. Jeremiah 23:6. "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Yahshua of righteousness." In his days, that is, in the days that the righteous branch is raised, is or in the days of the Yahshua, in the antithetical apostolic era, in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, judgment of the living, plainly then, someday in the Christian period, inspiration makes known. Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safe on the earth. This promise, therefore, is made not to the unbelieving Jews, but unto the believing, antithetical apostolic believers, unto those who have made the Yeshua's righteousness their own. Nevertheless, these antithetical apostolic believers, we are here told, are with the, or of the descendants of the both Judah and Israel, who as a result of the dispersion and also in the joining of the antithetical apostolic congregation have through the centuries lost their racial identity. Let's do that again. Nevertheless, these antithetical apostolic believers who are here told are the descendants of both Judah and Israel, the 10 tribes, who as a result of the dispersion back then, and also in the joining of the apostolic church with the disciples at the cross, have through the centuries lost their racial identity. For the apostolic church, therefore, according unto the scriptures, is in the main made up of the descendants of the Jacob, whose seed was to be as the sand of the sea for the multitude, for they are the called Yahshua, the Yahshua of righteousness. They will clearly see that their own righteousness is but the filthy rags, and will fully make the Yahshua's righteousness their own. Otherwise, they could not rightfully call him the Yahshua of righteousness. Jeremiah 23:7-8. "Therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Yahshua, that the Son of Yahweh, they shall no more say that Yahshua liveth, that brought up the children of the Israel out of the land of the Egypt. Verily, as the Yahshua liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country." That would be in our day. And we're the seed, we're the seed of the house of Israel, and this house of David. and from all the countries wherein I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Having come unto their great gathering day, and the apostolic period, unto their deliverance from all countries, unto the second and answer for Exodus, Isaiah 11:11. Naturally, they will not say that Yahshua liveth that draweth us up out of the Egypt or out of the Babylon, but that Yahshua liveth that draweth us up out of all the countries, whether we had, whether he had driven us, where they give him the credit for the dispersion and for the gathering, and also for the dwelling safely in their own land. These, you see, are not unbelieving Jews, but thoroughly converted antithetical apostolic believers, for they shall inhabit the land. Moreover, when this takes place, there will be no fear and no killing among the Yahweh people, with the guns fired and no bombs dropped on them. For the people shall dwell safely, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven of their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. For I say to Yahweh, will be under her a wall of the fire, a wall around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of the Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahweh, and many nations shall be joined unto Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yeshua of the host has sent me unto thee. Zechariah 2:5-11. For the important thing right now is for the finding out what the Yeshua's righteousness is, and how to make it our own righteousness, so that we may have the right and into his kingdom. For Yeshua, however, first desires to know what we have against him. Micah 6:3-5. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what the Balak king of the Moab consulted, and what the Balaam the son of the Beor answered him from the Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Yeshua. Since we cannot think of anything that we might have against the Yeshua, we had better find out what the Balaam's answer unto Balak was, so that we learn what the righteousness of the Yeshua is, and how to make it our own. Let us therefore turn unto the book of the Numbers, 23:16-17. And the Yeshua met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak. Let's do it again. And the Yeshua met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came unto him, when he came to Balak, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of the Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath Yahshua spoken? Now let us hear Balaam's answer. Numbers 23:18-19. And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor, for the Yahweh is not a man. Let's look at that again. For the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is not a man, that he should lie, neither the son of man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? For Yahweh's righteousness, you see, is his integrity, his sure promises, his might to perform. For he guarantees his promises. They never fail. To have the righteousness of the Yahshua, therefore, is to have his integrity and faithfulness. And these we can never have so long as we mistrust him. Never so long as we doubt his word, for the doubt is nothing short of calling him a liar. To doubt is the greatest offense one can commit. No one can doubt Yahweh and still receive his blessings and promises. To have the righteousness of the Yahweh, therefore, is to implicitly trust him without the reservation. And where does he expect us to begin? He wants us to begin with the thing that troubles us most, with the temporal things as tomorrow, for he wants us to learn that we cannot serve self and Yahweh also. Matthew 6:24-26. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? These three verses plainly say that to live, to make a living, and to worry down, you are to prepare tomorrow, is nothing less than serving mammon, self, that you cannot serve self and Yahweh at the same time. And if you serve the Yahweh, you should be as free from the worry of the future as are the birds. Yes, you should be even more confident of his care for you are worth more than are the birds. You are wholeheartedly to know that so long as you serve him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Yahshua will hear them. I the Yahshua of the Israel will not forsake them. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her second child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget. Yes, well, I'm not forget thee. Matthew 6:27-34. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even the Solomon, and all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if the Yahweh so clothed the grass as it here, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall you not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whithersoever shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Now all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore an oath out for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself sufficient, unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow, for it will take care of itself. Why cross the bridges before you come to them? Why worry how you are to fill up your stomach, and with what you are to cover your bodies tomorrow, if they are cared for this day? Why worry about your own needs? Why not worry how to advance the kingdom of the Lord, putting in the overtime for the making tents or cobby shoes for a living? It's all right if you do not say, I will do this and the other, and get money to buy and build this or that. You should instead say, if the Yahweh Yashirah or Yahweh permits, I will do this or that so that I may get here or get there. Do this and the other for the advancement of his cause, whatsoever the aim behind your act. It must be for the advancement of his kingdom. Why not make your chief interest his business? Why not the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness, or the kingdom of the Yahshua and his righteousness, so that all these things be added unto you? Why work to feed yourself? Why not work for the Yahweh and let him feed and clothe you? He is far more capable of providing for you than you will ever be. Why not let him take charge of your work, of your home, of your body? While you do his bidding, he will never fail you. Why not do this and be an altogether born-again and typical apostolic believer? Why be a Christian in name, but a Gentile in heart and faith? Work no longer for self. Work for the Yahweh and be free of the word, free of having to make your own living in your own way. The fishermen of the Galilee, while fishing in their own way, fail. But when they cast the net where Yahshua said that they should cast it, it was instantly fitted or filled with the fish. Know first that the Yahweh is not interested in your selfish business, but in you and his saving business. There is therefore no need of you serving mammon, self, and at the same time expecting his blessing on the mammon interest. No man, even in the world, can work for his own interest and still expect this firm to promote him or keep him at any post of duty. no employer hires persons because he wants his employees to make a living, but only because he wants his own business cared for. Know that Yahweh's business is of a greater importance and of the future leashing consequences than any man's business, and that Yahweh is more particular than any man ever was or ever will be. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This brings the end of our study. This hour of contact is at the 11th hour call, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.